Good evening, glad to have everyone here this evening. We have visitors here, they're always our honored guests, and hope you can come back and visit us at any opportunity you have. This evening, we'll be studying Proverbs 6. If you are one of the people that's been using the reading schedule that Brandon's done, probably a couple of months ago, we read Proverbs. If you were in the young adult class, I think they studied Proverbs a couple of times here in the last few years. So a lot of these Proverbs are familiar with them. Proverbs are, they're basically, they're short sayings. They contain truths of the Word of God. Most of these in the first part are from Solomon, but some other writers are. A good definition for a proverb is a short saying expressing general truth for practical godly living. Well, they are very practical sayings. They guide our behavior and guard us against the behavior of others. So Proverbs have a good thing that they can do for us. If you would, open your Bibles to Proverbs, the 6th chapter, and we'll be reading the whole proverb, but we will start in verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 5 to start. My son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands and pledged for a stranger, if you are snared by the words of your mouth, you are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself. When you have come into the hand of your friend, go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eye, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hands of the hunter, and like a bird from the hands of the fowler. So, this proverb is basically talking about financial entanglements that you may get into. It's really talking about close friend or family matter here. It's not saying that you shouldn't be a surety for someone. Today we used to call it co-signing for somebody. But it, as a proverb here, it tells us some of the fallacies that you can get out of this. And one thing it's saying, if you look, it's not telling us that if we decide to co-sign for somebody, that all of a sudden we say, no, I'm not going to do that. The Bible says I can't do that. No, it says that this isn't a good practice. You probably shouldn't do it. But if you've made that commitment, God wants us to keep our promises. We have to keep our promises to other people. As we go to Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 25 through 27, this is the parable of talents. So Jesus tells the one talent servant he should have at least invested his money with the bankers. This was common practice at that time. And we do not see Jesus saying, you shouldn't try to get interest. You shouldn't loan money to anybody. This is talking about the fallacies of what could happen between you and a close friend. But in Matthew 25 through 27, it says, and I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seeds. So you ought to have deposited your money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back with my own interest. So take the talent from him and give him to him who has ten talents. So the parable here is showing that, yes, it's not, it's financial things are not necessarily wrong with it, we've done specifically entanglements. And if you turn back to Matthew, the fifth chapter, Jesus is talking about helping a friend. Not necessarily co-signing for it, but if you have a friend that needs help, you can help. It says, give to him who has asked you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, that you do not turn him away. What is happening here, Solomon in one of his Proverbs is telling us the things that can happen. If I decide to lend money to a friend and something goes sour in the deal, then I could lose my friend. So, we should be very careful with the financial commitments we make to other people. The next section is on laziness. Starting in verse 6 through 11, it says, go to the ant, you sluggard, and center her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come after you like a prowler, and your need like an armored man. We've all seen ants. We know what ants can do. If you'll take a little time to watch an ant, you'll see a little bit of ant. He'll get a crumb or something that looks like it's twice as big as he carries it, ants are a very industrious group of beings, and we're always amazed by them. But this is talking about us as individuals. We're being lazy in what we're doing. Solomon's telling us, look at the ant, look what he does. And we even have things in the New Testament that will help us. In Romans 12:11-13, we're told to be zealous serving the Lord. It says, not lacking in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving the hospitality. And then in 2 Thessalonians 3:10-12, it tells us, even when we were with you, we commanded you this, anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, that are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. We've got a commandment that we are supposed to work. That was God's design, that man would, after the, even in the garden he worked, but after man sinned, work got harder. But we're told to work. And God's word even says, if you're not willing to work, you don't need to eat. We live in a country where we try to make sure everybody has something, but there are things that we should do. We should, if at all possible, work to support ourselves. Next four verses are talking about the wicked man, starting in verse 12. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with the first mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his finger. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. A wicked person, they cause so much strife and everything. A person that's wicked is going to do what's best for them. It doesn't make either right, wrong, or whatever they supposed to say. And I'm going to do this because it's best for me. And you could be a casualty of what the person does. But we, even in the New Testament, we have commands. You know, in Ephesians 4:29, it talks about our tongue. We should have no corrupt talk out of our mouth. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So we should be concerned about what we say. In Romans 8:7-9, it talks about the fleshly and the worldly people are not pleasing to God. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So, if we want to be a child of God, we cannot be a wicked person. And Solomon spends a little time talking about some things that God hates in these four verses here. Starting on verse 16, he says, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to run in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. And you know, we have similar lists in the New Testament of people that God hates and sins that God hates. 1 Timothy 1:8-10 mentions some of these sins. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and the sinner, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, perjurers, if there be any other thing that's contrary to the sound doctrine according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. I think one of the interesting things I get about this one, I look at here, you know, we look at murderers, fornicators, sodomites, kidnappers. You notice it also has liars in there? We need to really be careful how we use our tongue. And we also have another list in Matthew 15, verses 19 through 20, things that defile a person. It says, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornicators, thieves, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. The Jews, they looked at some things that they thought, you know, was okay, but then they had their things that they had done for many, many years that weren't necessarily laws, things that they had done so long that they thought, look, we don't do them this way, they're wrong. You know, they were ceremonially washing their hands and everything. But we see that God has specific things that we shouldn't do. And he lists them here, and we need to be concerned about that. And he continues, he finishes the chapter talking about adultery. You know, we live in a country I did a little bit of looking, and I can't imagine it was ever that high, but they're saying that at one time, the rate of marriages failing was almost 50%, and now it's down to 40%. Both of them are way too high, don't get me wrong. I don't know what the thing is, but you know, this is talking about a young man who is this next group of scriptures, and he is being tempted, and it tells us, do not be tempted with adultery. Starting in verse 20, my son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you're awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs and instruction are the ways of life, to keep you from the evil woman and from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, the man is reduced to the crust of bread. An adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So he who goes in to his neighbor's wife, whoever touches her, is not innocent. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance he has in his house. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonors he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give many gifts. We need to be very, very careful in our dealings with other people that we don't fall to a seductress, whether it's a man and a woman and a man, that we don't fall into that. We need to keep the words that God has given us on our heart. And if we go to some of the things in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 13, sexual immorality is one of the things that will keep a person from heaven. It reads, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, that you were sanctified, that you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food for the stomach, and for the stomach food, God will destroy both within them, hidden them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. This makes a point that some of us may have done this. We can be forgiven. He talked about these people, you know, these are the type of people that will not enter the kingdom of God, but such were some of you, but you've now been washed. So even if we do these sins, if we decide not to do them anymore and make ourselves right, we can be right with God. And Revelation 21, verse 8 says, it's talking about the sexual immoral around this, that, you know, that will not go to heaven, but they'll go to hell. It says that the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, tonight we've looked at some things that we need to look at these precepts, put them in our lives, and try to make ourselves better. And, you know, we may have been guilty of some of these things. And if we're a Christian, we can ask God to forgive us, and we can go forward just like with God, just like it never happened. Now, does that mean you won't have maybe some time on earth that you're going to have to pay for these things? You may. But God will forgive us and hold against us no more. But if you've never become a Christian, nothing you do is going to clear you of these sins unless you decide to obey God, you believe, you repent, you confess Christ, and you be baptized. If there's any way we can help you tonight, come forward and stand and sing.